Moses with the Moses Robin, and this is
me,
Fly Mama Mia,
and I'm Ariana.
We have a special guest today, Ariana, and she is going to speak on, what are you speaking on again, Ariana?
I don't know, my profession in working with kids with behavior disorders.
I knew she was speaking on, I just wanted to see, did she not? Well, it's been a while since you've seen us and heard from us, so I'm gonna go ahead and like start off the show and tell you guys a little bit what I've been doing. I moved. That's the best thing I did, was move from my old place to my new place. It's a different energy, different flow, things. What else I'm doing? Being a mom, you know, balancing motherhood and being a girlfriend and being a good friend. And also having my own personal life is something that I've been trying to work more on. And that's probably why I stepped back on the MILF Association, because I ended that. And also that's why I stepped back from the podcast, was because I was trying to balance everything and figure out what was my actual next move. What you been on, Nee?
We bought a house. Was that before?
Girl, just, okay, we don't act like we don't know.
So, we bought a house. We are expecting another little one. And those are, like, the two biggest things that have happened to me so far, which is a lot in just that short amount of time.
New beginning. New chapter.
Yes. Other than that, we're doing the same thing. Like, getting settled in our house. We've been in since May. And I feel like we've been in there for a long time. Like, I really love being a homeowner. It's very different. Mm-hmm. I will say that it's very different. And just getting stuff together. Still doing the virtual learning. How y'all still feel about that?
The twins actually do... The twins are going to... They're going to daycare, but they do virtually learning for... Well, virtually speech. Mm-hmm. Which I like it, because now, at first when the speech therapist used to leave me notes and tell me what they were working on, mm-hmm. but it feels even better when you sit next to them, yeah. and you can see what they actually struggle with.
Yeah, that's
And you can great. Actually see how they interact with their speech therapist, because that, baby, sometimes I gotta sit next to them and tell them, I'm gonna pop you upside head. I don't be beating on my kids, but you know. Look, you have to threaten them sometimes.
Yeah, I feel you.
What about you, Mia?
It's been grinding. I'm keeping it short. I've been grinding and living. That's all I can do. Staying prayed up. That's it.
Yeah. Your lash is on point, I might say.
Thank you. Fly Mama collection.
Yes, for both. What about you, Ariana? Even though you knew you were a guest, but tell us what you've been up to.
Just working two jobs virtually, which is very challenging. You think sitting at home and, you know, just having to be on a computer isn't stressful or, you know, kind of requires a lot of effort, but it actually does, especially when you're dealing with mental health and all that. You have to be a little bit more conscious of what you're doing, because a lot of things is built off of human connection, and having a computer in between you kind of like diminishes that. So that's been my kind of thought process a lot with this whole like COVID-19 being at home kind of thing. But we've recently just gone back to the building with kids, so now it's adjusting to the new safety standards that we have, as well as trying to teach kids how to behave.
Y'all have to see this picture of Ariana with her goggles on. I have to show you.
We basically wear hazmat suits. Just to work.
Really?
Yes.
When she said it to me, I was like, wow. Like,
you gotta sit like that all day.
What about the kids? Are they just having on a mask?
They only have to wear a mask.
And they wearing a mask all day?
Mm-hmm. What mask? Me, I said what mask. What county do you work in?
Davidson.
That's a Williamson County, y'all. The kids don't have to wear a mask anymore.
Wow. Interesting.
I wonder what decides that.
You know. They probably counties. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like, health-wise. Like, maybe they haven't had that many
cases. That's true. Or... I didn't think about that.
But are all the kids in Williamson County, like, back in school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So everybody's back in school in Williamson County?
Yes. Majority of them are.
So do they get the option to choose if you want to do virtual or go to school?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
The lady that I go to for waxes, she told me her grandchildren went back in school, and she hates them being back in school because they don't have to wear a mask, but they still wear a mask. You know, it's more of an option.
Right.
That's why you shouldn't give kids, anyway, kids are nasty.
Right.
They don't have a goddamn option. They don't need an option.
Yeah.
Like,
that.
But a lot of parents, I've been seeing a lot of parents, they don't want their kids to wear no mask. Like, in the groups that I'm in, like, the parent groups and the county groups, Rutherford County Parents mm-hmm. Group, they don't think their kids should wear a mask.
Why?
I think it's because of the perception. Like, when you look on TV, you really don't see a lot of children cases, you know, them bringing that up specifically. Yeah. So, when you go in the store, like, I mean, I'm going to protect myself, but I got a little one, and they might not catch it.
That's like, that's a shitty parent.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be on, yes,
I'm going to like, I agree. I just was like, you know, I just maybe I just don't understand the image, but why would you be fully geared up and then just get your child?
That's crazy. Yeah.
Whether or not he can catch it less than you or she can catch, like, it's
why would you want to put it in that risk?
Right. My kids think they superheroes when they got their mask.
I love that the twins love their mask.
Yeah, they wear it.
They're not bothered by it.
They think they're ninjas, and I'm like, yeah, ninjas, baby.
Except when they be running in the stuff. See,
okay,
now you calm down.
I'm glad that we spoke on that, because one of the first questions that I want to ask you, Ariana, is what expectations should parents have for virtual learning?
You're going to see your kid in a whole different light. Like, teaching academics and, like, teaching, you know, basic home things are way different. Like, a lot of the parents have said to me, this is what you deal with?
Yeah.
All the time. Like, you're, like, teaching them that this might stimulate your child too much, like, being out of the school and having TV at home and all this other extra things, family members, whatever. All of that is going on that they're not used to. So, trying to make them learn in that environment is like something brand new, so you're going to be like struggling because you're really starting at rock bottom. We've never done this before,
right?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of them have just been like stressed out by like how long it takes for the child to like maybe complete an assignment or, you know, special directions that they need to complete a task.
The only reason what I was going to speak on about that was that I think it's actually good to see, for parents to see how their child actually interact with their teacher in with a classroom setting, even if they're not actually in a classroom, but to just see it video, I think it's been great. And also, I think it gives a feel of, like, I've been hearing about parents, like, just, I think they forgot that they're actually on camera sometimes. I've been hearing interesting stories about parents walking around, like,
inappropriately.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Or so they'll see that. You see their home, and I'm like, you don't want to put the beer in the refrigerator, like, you know, or whatever. You will see things, and what I've learned is you can't judge them for their home. I have things in my home. I mean, I'm just a little bit more prepared on what to show and what not to show, but I mean, it just, it kind of opens the door to kind of see what the kids live in.
So let me ask you this. Did you hear about this story about the kid? He had the Nerf gun at home. He was playing with it on, like, in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up getting suspended. The teacher ended up calling the cops on him. And I know you just said, you know, what goes on at home. So how did you feel about that?
I feel like that was, like, a big overstep. Okay. I mean, that's their home. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless, as a, when you work with kids, like, the first thing, you know, you really learn, it was drilled into you, is, like, if you suspect danger, then, you know, report it or whatever. Don't ever take anything lightly. But I just feel like that was more of a, maybe a cultural misunderstanding or whatever, that a lot of teachers, you know, struggle with, is understanding kids aren't raised the same way you were raised. Like, everybody comes from a different way. So while a Nerf gun or something of a weapon might be a form of, you know, trying to hurt somebody in your home, in their home, it might be something that's appropriate, something common. So, if you don't feel the child is in imminent danger, then what are you reporting? You're just judging off a situation. So, I mean, we've had discussions about siblings in the background smoking.
Oh, really?
And legally, we can't do anything about that. like, we don't know what it is. It's a camera, so we can't make the assumption of it's this or it's that. We just see somebody smoking. So what we can do is tell the kids, change the background. Because if you change the background, the only thing the computer is going to show is you.
Yeah.
Because you're right there in front of the camera. So, yeah. I just feel like that was just an invasion of
privacy.
Their privacy. Yeah. And you're taking, like I said, you're taking something that might be appropriate in their home. And because you think it's negative, you bring it to the light of being bad. And then it just goes on from that.
Right.
So, yeah.
So what are some of the biggest challenges that you face in your role?
I wouldn't necessarily think of them as challenges. I would say more of things I have to be conscious of.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to be conscious of when children act out from trauma, not responding to them in a way that I feel is right. Like, or if I feel hurt or personally attacked to it. Like, you always have to think about it because, you know, they threaten to spit on you, hit you or whatever, which I've never had happen to me because I've definitely set the tone. Like, you know, if you take it, Miss Ariana loves you with all her heart, but if you take it there, I'm not just too sure how I'm gonna react. Like, so
right,
let's not cross that line. And not to say I would put any kids in danger, but you know, I'm a human,
right?
Like, if I feel like something's degrading, my fight or flight might react faster than, you know, my thoughts. So I would have to say that is the thing I think about.
So with you saying, like, for an example, if a kid were, like, they threatened to spit on you, and say, for an example, they did, like, spit on you or, you know, something of that nature, how do you constructively deal with that kind of behavior?
The best thing I can do is just walk away. Like, at that moment, walk away because, I, like I said, I'm a human. I'm going to react in a human way. So, just walk away because I don't want something that might be a reaction from what is going on to affect our relationship. Because that's the most important thing. Like, but these kids, the first thing is to establish a strong relationship. I can't teach you nothing until you trust me.
Right.
So if you spit on me and you cross that line, the first thing we're going to address is I'm going to let you know that was hard for me. And, you know, like, I feel like sometimes people think that admitting truths to kids is kind of like giving them too much information. But why wouldn't you want to give them all the information?
Right.
You hurt me. Yeah. Like, I don't like that. And then that doesn't mean I don't like you. I just don't like what you did.
Right.
And now we're going to move forward, and that can't happen anymore if you want me to continue to be there for you like I can be. So
you really are an amazing teacher because you try to form a bond before you actually perform your profession.
Yeah, because, I mean, amazing. Without that, they won't listen to anything that I say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't be trying to give out threats or nothing like that. Just trust me. Like, we're going to have fun. We're going to do what we're going to do. Like, Miss Ariana likes to play, all that. But sometimes we got serious business we got to take care of.
Right.
And then, you know, we go from there. But we going to be good.
I love that you keep saying trust. Like, and I think a lot of times, because you work at a school where it's alternative school. So a lot of the times, these kids' environment is very destructive.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like what you saying that you have to, they have to trust you is a big thing. Because in human nature, you do have to trust somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's sometimes what teachers lack is different backgrounds and actually getting their students to teach, like, to, I'm sorry, to trust them. So
trying to get to know them. Like, do you feel like now you have more of an understanding of why your kids act the way they did?
Yeah. And that came from, like, school and education. Like, and as well as experience, but it definitely has something that I wasn't, like, came and hit the ground running knowing how to do. It took a lot of practice and acknowledgement of, you know, why do kids connect with me? Like, why do I not have problems that normal, like, or not normal, but other people have? Like, who came before me or whatever? Like, if I've worked at a place and before I get there, you know, they tell me this child's a problem or whatever. And I'm just like, okay. You know, like, you take it in, you make a note of it, but I'm like, I'm not going to let you kind of build their personality to me. Let me know, get to know them on my own.
Yeah.
And some of the majority, always, the problems they've seen, I didn't see. Like, I, if they did show those same behaviors, we dealt with it right off the bat. You know, it's not wasting no time. It's okay. You know, you didn't kind of show me. I let you, you know, give me your true colors. Because right, yeah. Kids, when they first meet you, they give you the honeymoon, and then they're going to give you the true colors.
That's like anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the honeymoon phase. They're right. The sweetest, but I really love when they give me their true colors because, I mean, now it's so authentic and it's so genuine. I'm like, you know what? I know that's we can kick dope. It, but now we finna, you know, work on this other stuff too, and we going to still keep building right. From that.
So, for the people who don't know, can you tell them how long you've been a teacher?
In the education field, it's only been 3 years. Okay. But every job I've had since I was 15 has been with kids. Yeah, that's awesome. Every right. Single job. Yeah. So, I've seen them in every environment. From a nanny, to an after-school program director, from a day camp, like, literally all of it. So...
She does, and one thing I like about it, and not to speak on you, because of course you're my best friend, but she deals with kids from different backgrounds, which I think is very good for you, because you know, you can deal with a child that grew up in, like, we won't say projects, but grew up in a very low income, and then you got parents, children that grew up with parents, two-parent household that's rich. Mm-hmm. I feel like you can tell both of them, you know, the struggles that both of them deal with. Mm-hmm. And that's what one thing that's why I always ask her, even though you don't have children, I feel like you still is a great person for somebody to come and ask questions for. Because one of my questions is, what hardships have parents expressed to you in regards to virtual learning?
Having to put so much time. I'm like, they haven't realized how time consuming it is to learn a lesson. And like I said, they don't really seem frustrated, but you can tell on their face like they're exhausted. Because as a parent, you know, you leave school to the teacher sometimes. And you might not even consciously know that you're doing it, but you might put that sole responsibility on her. So, or him. And then when you have to kind of take on that role yourself, you're like, wow. You know, I don't really like to teach. Or I don't want to go over the lesson, which is fine. But I really like that it might shed the light on maybe we got to be a little bit more involved in, like, school life. And more communication with the teachers. And more, like, awareness of, hey, you learned multiplication this week. Or you're learning this week. And let's go over that or talk about that a little bit more. Because, you know, practice makes perfect. So just kind of involving yourself in more than just the home life.
Yeah.
And kind of taking that responsibility of school too. Like, just because they're there, they always need the support. And I feel like teachers, a lot of the times, their lack of effort comes from not feeling supported.
Yeah.
I'm the only person teaching. And your kid cutting up, but you not working with me. You know, you more want to keep addressing the behavior, but you're not actually talking to me, asking me what I'm thinking, what I'd want to see out of your child or something like that, you know, building that connection as well.
Parent-teacher conference is very important.
Yeah.
And we have to take it serious.
But it also goes beyond that. Yeah. You know, I love parents that call me. You know, don't wait for me to call you.
Yeah.
Call me. Ask me how your child is doing. Don't always assume just because I'm not saying nothing that nothing is happening.
Now, that's something that's I do with my child. Like, I'm constantly, I know she probably get tired of me, but I'm like, how's Carter's week going? Is he struggling anything? Like, what do we need to work on? Because you're right. The community teachers aren't really supposed to tell you. It's up to your parent to ask about your child. You want to know what your child is up to, progression.
I'm telling you, it probably makes her feel better, you know, to know that she has one kid or it's one kid she's never have to worry about. Like, when addressing him about anything, she's like, oh. You know, I'm going to talk to you about it, but if I let your mom, you know, your mama going to know as well. Right. And that's the best thing to have for kids. Like, I shouldn't have to threaten you and say, I'm going to call your mama or your daddy. You should already know that once this over, they going to know before you get, you get home, because that's how involved they are, with your education.
It's important to be involved, because teaching doesn't end when they're at school. You know, you got to teach at home too. Right, you got to practice. So, it's very important.
And teachers see students in different light.
Yeah.
In different light. So you may get the best version of my child, and I'm like, hold on, he doesn't act like this way at all.
Right, exactly.
What are you doing? Let me call you. Let me see why does he act this way. Or vice versa. I may get the best version of my child, which normally kids act out mm-hmm. in front of the teachers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why this, to me, I think virtual learning, we needed to see it. Like, we it needed to happen because, right. man, kids are something else.
Yeah.
Kids are mischievous. Yeah. They have these double personalities. They really don't respect teachers. And for the longest, I feel like society has always placed teachers on the back burner anyway. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, babe. Educators.
Yeah, y'all.
Promise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to be out there striking. I wish I lived in Chicago with them because, you know, I have friends who work in the CPS school system, and it is, I mean, they go through the trenches with these kids, you know, and that's because they're extremely dedicated. But they got to receive some kind of compensation for their dedication. Like,
yeah.
It shouldn't be something played around with. They're building the next generation.
Literally.
Why wouldn't you want them to be happy? These are the people that's going to follow suit. We want them to continue the legacy of whatever they're a part of.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't you want them to be the strongest people they can be? And they can only learn it from these individuals who have the ability to teach. Because teaching is hard.
It's a skill.
Oh, yeah. It's a skill. And everybody don't have it.
I'm
definitely not it.
I'm not it either. Me and Carter go over numbers, and I'm like, what number is this? You know.
Yes. That is me.
Like, I couldn't be a teacher. Like,
it took a lot of patience.
It is. Yeah. And like, I tell them when it comes to academics, I be like, ooh, you see, Miss Ariana not really good at math, but I'm going to try my best, but I really don't want to help you. Like, I'll be that honest, and they think it's so funny. I'm like, I don't want to help you because I really don't know what it's saying.
Like, and math is different now.
Why are y'all doing it like this?
But I got a solution for you. We're going to wait until Ms. Walker, who's my favorite teacher in the whole world, we're going to wait till she's done, and she's going to help you. You know, I'm going to be there with you for support, but I can't help you do it because I don't really know what we're doing.
So, I love it.
I think what is
some advice you would give to parents or actually like teachers or guardians on this whole journey of virtually learning, dealing with COVID, having your children at home more with you? Like, mm-hmm. What type of advice would you give?
I actually was just having this conversation with a coworker as far as like giving advice to teachers or, you know, behavior specialists like me. Really stop and think, what is your purpose in this job? And if this job or profession or career is for you. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times I'm in an environment and I can see the good in somebody, but I'm like, this good is not going to help you thrive in this profession. You maybe need a little, you know, a little therapy. Everybody need a little therapy, but you sometimes need, you know, a little extra, and, you know, it's kind of hindering your growth and, you know, moving forward. So I really would say stop and think, like, is this for me? Because you can always drive your passion, you know, into another direction. Mm-hmm. And I even had to stop and think. I'm like, but this for me. It come too easy, you know. I'm just a little anxious about the new wave of it, you know, being in a mask and goggles mm-hmm. all day. But other than that, you know, the kids seem to be more content and more adaptable. And you have to remember, kids are resilient. Mm-hmm. That's what I told myself, you know, because I was being so negative about going back to work. But when I was driving home, I'm like, kids are resilient because they were not bothered by the new, you know, being distant, not being able to hug. They was excited to give the elbows. Like, I'm like, they be thirsty to give the elbow now. So it's crazy. And just to parents, like, adapt with your child. Like, understand that you're adapting as a grown up. But then look at your child and think like, man, they're adapting as a child. A lot of things might not make sense. So I gotta provide that making sense. But I'm also working with myself too, so yeah.
Do you think this will affect like the student social skills?
Absolutely.
Okay.
How do you
thrive in an environment? If you're isolated, you know, you can almost think about it as like a solitary confinement.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see. Like, you can see people, but it's through a computer. You can't really pick up on all the emotions, all, you know, their thoughts or whatever. Just because social comes from communication, relationships, all that human connection. So if you're not actually connecting physically, I feel like that puts a strain on trying to work on social skills. Like, my second job, I work for the Regional Planning Intervention Program for the state. And we work with kids with challenging behaviors, but they're toddlers. So we have to pause social skills training because they're not able to actually interact with a peer to practice, you know, saying please, or can you hand me that, or I don't like that, you know. Also addressing their feelings, like if somebody does something to you don't like, letting them know, I don't like that. So we're trying to figure out ways to kind of replace that, but it's so hard. I feel like that's our biggest struggle we have at the moment, is we want to provide the services, but how do we do it with so many limitations? And I really love that the team I work with, I mean, they break it down to the smallest detail, because it's that human connection is so important. And one misstep can, you know, not allow a successful journey through the whole process, just because of, like, a parent feeling like, I don't get how this really works, you know, or I don't really understand what you're trying to say because I can't see it. My child isn't practicing it. Because, I mean, we have more kids who are only siblings. And one of the things the parents really want them to work on is, like, social skills. But how do I teach my kids social skills in a home where they're the only child? So, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Well, Ariana, thank you for joining us today. I think it's the end. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Before we end the show, do anybody have any last remarks? Y'all got anything cool to say? Anything coming up?
I'm tired.
I'm so tired. Me and ready for a nap. And so I'm going to go ahead and we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank Ariana for being our guest.
Thank you.
This was
thank
great.
You. It was a very great show. Thank you for bringing your energy in here. It was very, very good.
It was.
And I want to thank everybody for listening. And we happy to be back. We got a couple more shows to go before the end of the season. But all right, we out.
Peace out.
Peace.